Thank you for joining us today. Today is Monday, 17th of February, 2014. Are you ready to hear some stories about the ocean, falling in it, shivering cold after an ice boat accident, driving a Coast Guard cutter up a narrow fjord in Greenland? Lloyd Clark's got some great stories to tell. Join us. We'll be right back. Early in January 2014, Lloyd's daughter and son-in-law had a chance to sit around a dining room table and get some of these stories onto the recording. So you'll hear us talking, laughing, and joking. Hope you enjoy it.
We'll take care of that.
Some caustic remark.
Right.
We'll do that. Turn the microphone up a little bit here. Okay, we're on the line. And see these little dits right here? That's actually our human voice being recorded.
Okay,
so
we're recording right now.
There you go. That was your voice.
Oh.
Okay. Well, it's January 1st, 2014.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Where'd the time go?
I don't know. In fact, I only have so many years of my life, but you have even more years than I do.
Yeah,
a few. Will you care to tell us what year you were born?
1924.
Oh, my gosh. It's an even number with a 4 on the end, so that makes 90? 90 years.
In February.
February, okay. Well, I've been told by a good source that you have had water in your veins ever since you've been a kid.
Salt water.
Well, you might say that's true.
All right. Tell us that I heard a story that you fell through the ice one time when you were ice boating.
Yeah, down in Orient, which is a few miles from our home, I had a very good friend who had an ice boat, and he said that I could go ice boat with him. So we got down there, and he says, just be careful, he says, if you come to any open water, and don't look out for that. So I said, okay, I'll be careful. So he gave me the ice boat, and I went merrily on my way.
Now, wait a second. You said you'll be careful. How old were you then?
Oh, hell, I was...
Because sometimes teenagers aren't very careful.
Oh, hell, I must have been in my 40s at least.
Oh, 40s, 40, okay.
50.
Then I'm sure you were careful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to be surprised. So I'm ice boating merrily away, and I look up ahead, and I said, oh, look at that clear spot. Because the ice was a little slushy that day. I'm going to head for that clear spot.
Because it looked like nice hard ice.
It looked like it. It looked like an ice hard ice. And all of a sudden, I reached the spot and I'm in the water.
The whole boat?
The whole boat's in the water. I went right from the ice into the water. Well, there I am, trapped on the ice boat.
Well, had you gotten wet yet?
Yeah, it was a little damp, yeah. But so I climbed up on top of the ice boat to get out of the ice-cold water. The ice boat didn't sink into the bottom, but maybe it sunk a ways, but anyhow, I was able to climb up on the ice boat and get out of the cold water. So now the guy who owns the ice boat recognized I was in trouble. So he didn't know what the heck to do. So he had a friend in town called Bob Douglas. Bob Douglas came up with a boat. And somehow they got this boat over the ice and out on the water.
And you're still in the water.
Yeah, I'm still...
They pushed a boat. Did it have like an outboard engine or something?
No, ice boats? No.
No, I mean the one they...
No. It was just a plain boat.
Like a rowboat.
Yeah, a tin boat it was.
Tin boat, okay.
So they pushed it along the ice and then got it in the water and got out to the ice boat. And they got me in the boat and then they took me ashore and he says, you want to go to the doctor? And I said, hell no, let's go up to your house and give me a good shot of whiskey.
That's a good idea.
So we went up to his house. And he says, you sure you're going to be all right? Yeah, I'm fine. I said, just let me give me a good shot of whiskey and one, get blankets or something, warm me up for a while, and I'll go home and change. So I had my shot of whiskey, and I felt pretty good, and I got warmed up, and went merrily on my way, and that's about it. That's how.
And they got the ice boat out?
They got the ice boat out.
Oh,
right.
That's
they
good.
Did, later.
Yeah. Well, so as you heard, that ice boat incident was happening when he was in middle age. We thought we'd go back to the youth and find out if there's any indications of loving of falling in water.
Your experiences on the water started when you were quite young. What happened when you were a youngster?
Well, when I was 8 years old, my younger brother, Jack, and I were fishing for snappers off a dock at Sweet Shipyard. Now, at Sweet Shipyard, my father happened to be a head carpenter at the shipyard. That's why we were doing down there. And he theoretically was keeping an eye on us.
Not a very close eye on you.
No, a very close eye.
Well, very responsible.
Because he was...
building something.
Yeah, he was in charge of men. He had his job to do. Well, anyhow, there's an oyster boat moored alongside the dock, and I don't know how it happened, but somehow, whether I tried to climb up a pole to get fish or something from the pole, anyhow, I fell in the water, and my little brother, Jack, he was so scared, he takes off and goes running off the dock up to try to get hold of my father to do something. Now, this oyster boat was moored alongside, and the motor was just in... I don't know why the motor was on, what they were doing, whether they were pumping out or anything. But anyhow, I was in the water, and I was dog paddling. I went down. I never thought I was going to come up. And all of a sudden, I break back up on the surface after falling in, and I start dog paddling.
Yeah.
Like a dog.
Yeah.
To keep going. And I was yelling, "Help! Help! Help!" Well, I guess somehow George Layden, who was a nice man on board the oyster boat, must have heard me even above the motor on the ship. So he jumps overboard.
Oh my gosh, this is serious.
He jumps overboard and somehow he gets me and he alerts the guys on the oyster boat. Somehow they get us both out of the water. And that ended a happy story.
What time of year was it? Was it cold? Was it warm?
No, it was summertime, because you're fishing okay. For snapper.
Oh, well, that was at least better years. Than your ice boat. Lloyd has really enjoyed his time on the water and the things that he's done with it. Let's look at some of the things that perhaps were fulfilling in his life as he managed to stay on top of the water.
For sure.
Yeah, so...
Oh, yeah. It's a great outlet for anybody that enjoys it. It's given me many pleasant, happy hours. I had a boat when we went to Florida in the winter. I had a boat. I had a friend in Florida that used to take me fishing.
Well, you've gone lobstering?
Oh, yeah. We used to go lobstering in the summertime on Long Island Sound.
Clamming?
Oh, clamming.
Scallops.
Clamming, scalloping.
I've even heard that when you were dating your wife, that you took her to the beach and
dug up a clam with your foot.
Yeah, that's true.
And ate it in front of her, and she thought that was pretty strange.
I offered her some. She didn't want any.
I think one of the best things in your household, I happened to see a sign in the kitchen area, and it talked about the definition of a fisherman. Do you remember what that says?
Oh, a fisherman is a fool at one end of the line waiting for a...
Jerk at the other end of the line.
Waiting for a jerk at the other end of the line.
A jerk at one end of the line waiting for a jerk at the other end of the line.
Something like that.
Yeah. And I'm the big jerk.
Well, you've certainly instilled your love of the water in at least one of your grandsons. Greg's an avid fisherman.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
he's got as many fishing poles as you do.
More than probably.
He's a great fisherman. Yeah. Right.
Okay, I think we've got some good material here.
By now, you realize that Lloyd is pretty fearless and determined on the ocean. He happened to be in a situation as a junior officer aboard the U.S. Coast Guard Storrs, on a mission up in Greenland, going up into a very narrow fjord. Let's let him tell the story about that one.
And you enjoyed your service, but somewhere along the way, you managed to take a ship somewhere into Norway or Sweden?
I was in the Coast Guard, and I was the junior officer on the ship. I was a young ensign, green as anything, just right out of the academy. And I was assigned to the ship, and I was a duty officer, and I was in charge of the ship store and a few other duties. But anyhow, when you're on the ship, you serve something like 8 hours on and 16 off. Well, anyhow, one night, I was in charge of the ship. It was my turn for the charge of the ship.
How big is this ship?
This is a small iceberg. It was called the Storrs. It was a small icebreaker, very small. It was an old one of the oldest ships in the Coast Guard. It was a steam-powered. Steam-powered, turbines.
You put coal into the boilers to make the steam? What did you do to make the steam?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Must have been something that... it was electric that made this. I don't know, but anyhow, I forget that. Well, anyhow, the engineering officer was a nice guy, and he kept the ship going. Well, anyhow, the incident I want to tell you about, I'm on duty, and the only ones in the pilot house are me in charge of the ship, and everybody on board I'm responsible for, naturally, because you got to watch. You're in charge of the ship. So we're going up, we're in Greenland, and we're going up this fjord. And the captain's orders were, when you get to a certain point, you got to turn this ship around, otherwise you're going to crash into the end of the fjord. I guess we were just waiting out a storm or something. We were riding up this fjord, walls on each side.
So it's really steep and narrow?
Yeah, steep and narrow. And he says, when you get to the turnaround position, call me. He says, I want to come up and make sure we get around this turn all right. Well, somehow, being as green as I was as a new officer, I didn't realize the turn came up before I had a chance to notify the captain. So I said, I got to do something or this whole damn ship is going to hit this. So I got to turn this ship around. So I said, the helmsman. He looked a little green, but I said, we're going to do it. So I said, we're going to turn this ship around. So I said to him, I gave him the orders. I could see the end of the end coming. So I got over as far as I could to this fjord without hitting it. So anyhow, I turned the ship around and got it heading back down the fjord again. And I called the captain. And he came running up from deck. He was an old guy. And he's a very nice guy, though. He came in. He says, "Well, are we at the turn yet?" I said, "I'm sorry, Captain." I said, "I had to do it. I didn't have time to call you." I said, "It was a mistake on my part." I said, "But anyhow, we're turned around. We're heading back down." Oh, he says, "That's good. Good job. I'm going back to bed."
So you didn't get a reprimand or anything?
Well, not everything works out the way you planned. Let's listen in as he had a small amount of fear at one time.
Okay, I was out in my Boston Whaler, and I was right off Plum Island, which is an island close by, and I put the boat ashore because I saw something I wanted to go ashore and pick up. So I the edge of the water, I put the boat ashore, and I didn't know whether the tide was coming in or going out. So I just put it ashore and just put the anchor, held it with the anchor, and I walked up the beach and picked up whatever I wanted. I forget what it was. When I came back, I'll be damned, I couldn't get that boat back in the water.
Oh, no, it was up too high on the ground?
I guess. I couldn't move it. So I said, Jesus, I hope the tide's coming in. And luckily, I guess a wave came from a boat. Big boat went by and washed a wave up. And the wave, when it rolled up on the beach, And with that wave rolling up and a little of the tide coming in, I was able to get the boat off. I never had a... I was a,
you're kind of frightened.
I thought I was going to be stranded on Plum Island with a boat, but I got it off and went merrily on my way.
The next segment from the Admiral is about life, what you should do and what you shouldn't do. It's got tragedy in it, it's got humor, and it's got a fish on the end of the line. At the conclusion, there's some very important lessons that you need to learn in life.
You love fishing, and you're out fishing near Plum Gut. And
which is a very rapid-moving water.
Between Plum Island
and the shore.
North, and the end of North Fork.
Right, and you go when there's a full moon, right, at night.
Okay, so it's at night, the waters are swift.
It's what, September, something?
I would say it would be October.
Yeah, it was cold.
And so you're just out there fishing, or you're coming home?
Yeah, we're out there fishing, and I did a dumb thing, very stupid thing. So I wouldn't be blinded by the lights of other boats or anything. I turned the light off on the boat.
The running light.
The running lights off. Mm-hmm. It was night fishing for bass. Well, anyhow, Bill Hursley and I were down there fishing, and I got a fish on, and all of a sudden...
And I have to interrupt. These are not little fish. These are huge fish.
Oh, yeah. They're about 8, 9, 10 pound bluefish.
How many inches long is that?
30 that?
Inches?
What's that? 30, 34, 35 inches.
Yeah. Big fish.
Big fish, right.
Okay. I had a bluefish on the line. I didn't know if it was a bass or a bluefish at the time. And all of a sudden, Bill's up on the bow, and he says, "Look out!" He says, "Jump!" He says, "We're going to be hit!" He saw this boat bearing down on us.
Oh, and the boat didn't see you because you were dark.
Yeah, right. And I had shut the running lights off.
Right.
So anyhow, Bill says, "Jump!" He says, "We're going to be hit!" And Bill jumps. Bill jumps overboard, and I'm sitting there, and I said, "Hell, I'm not going to jump."
You got a fish on the line.
So I duck my head. I see this boat coming, and we have a bow rail. And this boat came by and went right over the top of my bow rail, hit the boat a little bit, and rode over the bow rail. And I'm ducking, I'm looking up, and I'm looking at the bottom of the boat as it goes over the...
Oh, my gosh.
Over the top of me. So anyhow, the boat passes, and damn, if that guy didn't stop or come back. He just kept going.
How could he not know he ran over something?
I don't know.
Well, maybe he was scared, I don't know.
And anyhow, goes in the water, and he says, "Jesus," he says, "come get me! God, this water's cold," he says. He had heavy boots on and everything. I said, "One minute, Bill, I almost got this fish in the boat."
This is a great story.
So I got the fish in the boat, and then I go over.
No, well, I heard you got Bill before you got the fish out.
Maybe.
But
did.
The fish is still on the line.
I hope I did, for Bill's sake. Yeah, but the fish... Well, anyhow, after we got Bill in, we got the fish in. And this time another boat came over. A friend of mine came over and said, "You guys all right?" I says, "Well, I'll tell you in a minute. If we can start the engine, we can go home with the bow rail broke and everything." But I said... "I think we're all right." So we start the engine, and Bill says, "Let's get out of here." So that's the end of that story. Well, we went home, and Bill got warmed up.
And you had a fish.
And you had a fish.
Yeah. And Bill was safe.
Next time, you're going to leave the lights on?
You better believe it. You better believe it.
And one final note of gratefulness from a wonderful daughter.
Well, Dad, thanks for sharing all those great sea stories with us. We really enjoyed them. And we're really happy that you survived all those water incidents. Love you, Dad. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us today. Yeah, it's been a great podcast with Lloyd Clark. You know, if you want to see some more information about the U.S. Coast Guard Storis, the ship on which he served, please go to the virtualsaguaro.com website. You'll find this podcast as well as reference information about today's podcast. We'll see you again. This is Virtual Saguaro. Hope you have a great day. Bye-bye.